Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Creeps, Creatures, and Haunts. In today's episode, we are going to be kind of trying something that we've only touched on before, but we are going to be doing a full spoiler review of the first part of Season 4 Stranger Things. It is something we also plan on doing more in the future, is like movie/TV show reviews that are horror or thriller. Probably just horror and thriller, because that's like on brand with the channel, so we've decided to at least try that. And please do let us know, especially if you're watching video form, in the comments if it's something you would like to see us continue.
Yeah.
But there are so many different things in Stranger Things Season 4 to talk about that it was something that I wanted to do, was to kind of talk about. Now, we've talked a little bit about it because we watched most of it separately. So we've talked about it a little bit beforehand, but for the there's a lot of things we have not talked about. So it's going to be kind of a discussion. But again, if you have not seen Stranger Things Season 4, watch it, because we'll be talking about everything in the first part of Season 4. So it's filming of this. There's going to be, I believe, two more episodes that are going to be like about 2 hours long, coming out in the 1st of July. Yeah. So we are filming just the first, what, seven? It was a seven or six episodes. I think it was seven episodes.
I think it was seven.
It was seven episodes. Yeah. Seven episodes of this. Now, before we begin, make sure, if you haven't already, to like and subscribe. Like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're listening to it in podcast form, make sure you subscribe on your platform listening of choice. And if they allow for reviews, leave us a 4 or 5, whatever the maximum star review is, and write a little review. Helps us out a lot. There's a Patreon checkout and a merch store with some shirts and other cool shit you can purchase to help us out. And have our cool logo, the skull bulb, on it. But without further ado, I think we're just going to get into talking about this. Now, one thing is that's definitely different with this season is the episodes were quite a bit longer.
Oh my gosh, they were huge.
I think the shortest episode was like 1 hour even, something yeah. Really close to that. But everything else, like an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half. And the last episode of the first part was an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So like, these are like movie long episodes already. Yeah. And it's insane because, I mean, the quality is movie-like as well.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Netflix really put a lot of money into the series, mm-hmm. which, I mean, it is very popular. And this show is very popular for a reason. Not all popular shows are great.
Yeah.
But this one definitely...
it's definitely their cash cow. Let's just say that.
Yeah, but sure. it's an earned cash cow, I yeah. feel. And there are some things... there's so much to talk about this season, but so, you know, we kind of start off with kind of a recap because, I mean, I forgot that it was 2019 since season three.
We had to, I was watching it with my mom and we actually had to pause it at one point because we were like, wait, how long has it been? And we paused it when we were watching it mm-hmm. too, because we watched the first episode of the new season together and then I watched it again with my mom and we had to pause it and we'd be like, okay, it's been how many years now? And we had to actually, like, do the math and everything like that. And, yeah, it was 2019 since the last time we had a new episode.
Yeah, that's so pretty crazy.
That's a lot.
So a lot of the kids are, you know, older now.
Yeah.
They're in high school. I think freshman year is when this yes. takes place. So, like, your first episode is just kind of, like, reconvening with those characters. Not a lot happened. Well, a lot happens and not a lot happens in the first episode because so much of it is really kind of setting the tone
yes.
and the things are going to happen in the future episodes. But you do get to meet the villain of this season mm. who you get a little bit of. I feel like you don't get a ton of the main villain, which they name Vecna.
Yeah.
Based off of, we'll talk about in a minute, but a character that Eddie makes for D&D.
Yes.
And there's a couple new characters in this season as well. Eddie being one of them that's very early announced to... At first, I thought was really weird and kind of creepy with the way he was presented, like mm-hmm. so over the top.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he ends up being a really cool character.
Mm-hmm.
That was something with the season as well. I feel like all the characters were very well developed.
Yes.
Especially the new character. Well, I don't know if I say especially in the new characters because, like, they don't have a ton of screen time. Like, what's the stoner character name? Yeah, Argyle. That is his
Argyle.
Name. What a weird
He looks like he's Native American of some sort. He's a super stoner.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I keep seeing memes, which I think are hysterical, where it says gas prices are so high, and they're like, how high are they? And they show a picture of Argyle, and I'm like, that's pretty high, yeah. Because he's like a super stoner in this season.
I found him to be a good form of comic relief.
Yes.
He is like the main comic relief for yeah. this season. where Eddie Munson, he kind of starts as like being this like really, I don't even know if flamboyant's the right word, but like this super like enthusiastic kind of like just energetic nerd kind of like punk.
Yeah,
like nerd punk.
Yeah, because he's kind of like a metalhead, but at the same time, he's kind of got this nerdy.
He's like the ruler of the nerds.
Yeah,
you know, because like all these kids look up to, like all the kids that are younger than him look up to him. Like, I always think his name in the show is Finn Wolfhard because that's such a cool name. But Mike, and
Dustin.
Yeah, Dustin and Lucas, they all like really look up to him. But Lucas has also kind of become more of like into sports ball and stuff, so he's kind of trying to be friends with the cool kids, the preps, the jocks, and that kind of thing. And you know, he's really Eddie is kind of like the king of the nerds, but then of course he's trying to basically sell drugs to the one other new character, which is short-lived.
Oh yeah,
Chrissy the cheerleader, because she's seeing, and this is like the first introduction into your villain, you know, she's seeing like these visions and stuff. So she's like, what the hell's going on, like this clock, because basically this villain Vecna, he targets people that are traumatized. They have basically like some kind of trauma in their life, and he uses that and basically leeches off of them. Now one thing that's not explained is what the hell he's actually doing with them. Because, like, eventually when Max goes into the Upside Down, they're, like, into these tree things.
Yeah, like, he's almost, like, feeding off of them. Right. Even though he's already, like, pretty much killed them, he's still got their bodies kind of, like, on display.
Right, but it's not even their real bodies, because the real bodies are in the actual world, like, this world, not in this other dimension. It's like
their mental.
Yeah.
Their minds are on display.
Right. So and we'll get into later because, like, it's explained kind of what he does to them in a way, but why their corpses are still there, but not their corpses because their corpses are in our world. I don't really understand that part, which I'm hoping we get some kind of explanation about that in the part two because that was a little bit confusing. But, you know, Mike flies out to go see Elle, and it's been like a year. It's supposed to be like a year time since the last season is how long it's supposed to have happened between season 3 and 4. And one thing that I want to talk to you about, and this has been something I see a debate online, is Will's character. What do you think is going on with Will's character? Because I have my opinions, but there's a lot of allusions, I guess, to him being homosexual.
Yeah.
And some people are like, well, maybe he's not homosexual. He's just because, you know, he's had the most trauma of any of them because he was literally locked in the Upside Down for months or whatever.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of his childhood that he, like, didn't get to experience. But there's all this other stuff. I'm in the camp that I think that his character is. I think he has a crush on Mike and that he's scared to show it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal opinion because, like, he even basically mentions that the painting he's working on is for Mike, but he won't show, like, anyone else it, not even Eleven.
Yeah, I want to see the painting. I hope we get to see the painting by the end of the season. I hope we get to see
this painting
as I well. Have a feeling this will basically tell us whether or not Will is gay.
Right. I like the way they're doing it, though, and I really kind of hope they go that way because I feel like it's very realistic, especially for a kid in the 80s to kind of, like, not really know how they're doing it because, like, they've also been kind of slightly hinting at it even when he's younger because all the other kids have girlfriends and he's just like, I just want to play D&D. And they're just like, well, we don't like, I think the exact words from Mike were, well, it's not our fault that you don't like girls when he was, and, like, they end up having, like, a little, like, friend makeup session for being mean to him. But, like, you know, I think that might be also be taken literal as maybe he just doesn't like girls and maybe he's confused about the fact of his sexuality and just the way they're portraying it. Like, I mean, even in the, I don't know if it was one of the earlier episodes, one or two, where that girl, like, has a kind of a thing for him and she, like,
rubs his foot. Oh, yeah, she tries to play footsie with him
and he just recoils just,
like,
from her.
He's just like, what are you doing? Get away from me.
Right.
Like, ugh. Like, yeah, that kind of, that motion that he did kind of solidified my theory because I thought, like, just the way he kept looking at Mike and, like, all throughout the other seasons. Yeah, right. They kind of, like, made him – like, if he's not gay, then I think he's very, like, asexual. Like, maybe he's just not into anything,
but,
you
like,
know?
But just the way he acts to Mike, like, how
– yeah.
Like, when they're having that conversation, Mike's like, we're just friends, and, like, the expressions on the actor's face and stuff. And I guess on the actor – what is the actor's name? Noah Schnapps. I guess he is gay in real life as well.
Oh, okay.
I'm not positive on that, but I was, like, you know, reading multiple articles and I'm pretty sure that I read that he is. So I just think that it's just kind of a realistic, depiction of that, and I kind of hope that is where they're going with it.
Yeah.
Because we do get a little bit of that with, Ethan Hawke's, Maya Hawke, what's her character? There's so many characters, especially in this season. What's her name?
Oh, Robin?
Robin, yeah, because obviously, you know, that was like the whole thing in season three was Steve was basically like, hey, I think you're pretty great. And she was just like, well, the thing about that is you're pretty cool too, but I like women. And yeah. She has like whole some really cool spiel that she kind of goes through. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that. And I do kind of hope that they take that route with the character. There's so many different things going on this season because we haven't even talked about, you know, Hopper's whole thing yet.
Oh my gosh.
He's in the Russian base camp and all of that. And then he basically sends for... you know, Winona Ryder's character, Joyce, to come and save him. And then, of course, Yuri ends up basically crossing everyone, fucks them over, fucks the guy over. He ends up being the guard that was helping Hopper, ends up being in prison with Hopper. And they end up having to fight a demigorgon. And, you know, Joyce ends up breaking free and they take over the plane. And I really liked, what's the guy's name that's with Joyce? Murray Bauman was that's the guy's name we were trying to think of, played by Brett Gelman, except there's so many characters in this season, but they end up, you know, they end up saving the day with Hopper, and who is the guy that played Tom, I don't know how to say his last name, why, I don't know, I'm not even trying to say it, but Enzo, yeah, they end up saving them, and it was kind of nice. I also really liked the relationship between Hop and Enzo, because, like, it started off with this guy, like, really being, you know, I mean, he's the enemy, but he's trying to help Hopper, but it's only for his own personal gain, and he basically gets leveled when he's turned in, essentially for money for Yuri, he's turned in for that, so they kind of end up having to build this relationship, and I felt that was also kind of complex and felt natural, but I really liked... Murray's portrayal of Yuri when he has to act like him, yes. I found that to be quite comical.
It was really good. Like, I didn't realize to the extent of, like, how much, like, they really kind of only kind of hint at the fact that Murray can speak Russian. Like, I only thought he could understand it. But he, like, is fluent in it.
Yeah, he's very fluent in it.
And he basically takes over this character of Yuri. And it just was really hysterical how, like, insane he played this character to the point that the warden of the prison even was like, you know, Yuri, from what I hear, Yuri is just this, like, crazy person, but you're even more crazy than I think you were, you know?
The fact is, though, he wasn't any more crazy than the actual Yuri was. Like,
yeah,
that guy was bonkers.
Oh, he was bonkers.
Both, like, his performance was really good. We'll get to my favorite performance later, but yeah, his performance was just really good. But yeah, I'm curious to see where they go from that, because it basically ends with Joyce and Hopper hugging, and that's just where that ends, with Enzo kind of in the background and Murray. So I don't know how they're going to leave Russia, because they literally crashed a plane into Russia, so now they have to leave.
Now they have to find a way back.
The only Demogorgon we actually got to see, the only real Demogorgon was... the one they had there, because the only other real monsters we saw besides Vecna, if you consider him that, was
the little bat things.
Yeah, but this is the only Demogorgon we got, which they didn't kill, really, because I forgot how powerful those things are.
Yeah.
Also, this season is a lot more gory, I feel like, than others.
Yeah.
That Demogorgon fucked some shit up. Like, he was eating people's faces and stuff.
Oh, my God. He was just like, he was just taking those little things and just nomming on people's heads. And
I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like this is the first time we've really seen a Demogorgon, like, wreck havoc like that. Like, we've seen him be fast and scary, but, like, really just decimating
just
people.
Yeah, he just was, like, eating just to eat.
Like,
and before, he was just kind of hunting, you know? And I think now it was just basically he was just eating to eat. Like, I think they probably starved it so badly that that's why they did, like, purposely did that, just to torture those prisoners. And they just were like, you know, he's just going to eat and just go after them.
Yeah. And then I want to talk about 11. One thing I want to mention before I forget is, man, the music in this season I felt like was very, very good. Like, the music in Stranger Things has always been that really good, like, 80s. But there's some new scores that haven't, that were just really, really good and really built the tension up. And I just really think, I forget who does the music for it, but they are very good. Because I actually have it downloaded. I just can't remember off the top of my head who does it. Let's look here real quick.
Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein.
Yeah, I think that's the... Yeah, because a lot of the
synth-driven original score by composers. Yeah,
Kyle Dixon. Yeah. That's
Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein.
Yeah, those are the people that do the original score, because there's a lot of licensed music from the 80s as well. But yeah, music in this season was really good, and that is just a really awesome scene. A lot of people's favorite scene, actually, of the season, when Max, when they basically realize to get out of Vecna's grasp is to, like, put music on, like, to, like, make someone listen to music.
Yeah, because it kind of brings you back to reality, right, because he's basically got you stuck in this, like, dream world kind of thing. And so they put music on her, her favorite song, and it kind of opens this portal for her.
Right, because they end up finding out that one of the original victims that was back in, like, 59, I think is what it was still alive, who was, mm-hmm. they go, so they actually go to Pennhurst, which kind of disappointed me. It doesn't even look like Pennhurst. I was really hoping they would go to actual Pennhurst film there, but maybe just do CGI to make the buildings that are destroyed. Because, like, they could have done that. They could have actually went to Pennhurst, because the one building is, like, basically restored for the most part.
Right.
But they didn't, in knowing, having been to Pennhurst, I'm like, man, I really wish it looked like it. But either way, they go there and they talk to Robert Englund, and he's the guy who literally cut his own eyes out because of the horrible things he had saw. It was a attempt in his life, but also kind of the horrible things that he saw up into his family, where his family was basically flayed. You know, inexplicably, they move into a new house. Creepy, weird things. He starts to see things. The whole family's starting to see things. And then, you know, one night, the wife flies up in the air and twists like a pretzel and her eyes pop out of her head. Same basic thing happens to his daughter, and his son passes out. And, you know, then the cops come and he's like, you know, I didn't kill my family. The demons did. And they're like, okay, buddy.
Yeah, you know, sure they did. And, well, why didn't you get in that demons, padded room over there?
Yeah. Which I guess brings, you know, to the next thing. So Elle basically, which this is my real only complaint about this season, is because, you know, Elle's moved away with just Will, and she's been having trouble with bullies, which I will say, I forget her name, but the awful little blonde bitch. She from the moment she's Angela. On camera, from like the first minute, I'm like, I hate her infinitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But there's the scene at the roller skating rink where somehow Angela gets every single person besides Elle's direct friend group to be in on just torturing Elle in the middle, basically carrying her, which this was supposed to be a reference to Carrie, I guess. Even the DJs are, like, in on the, let's make fun of this child. Mm-hmm. Like everybody, even the adults, no other adults try and stop the whole thing. And then, you know, they basically shame Elle and just humiliate her. They make, ha-ha, your dad's dead jokes to her. It just felt so unrealistic that an entire skating rink full of strangers, not just people you went to school with, would all just decide, let's go abuse this girl.
Yeah.
It felt unrealistic to me. But then Elle gets getting mad, and she beats her in the face with a roller skate, ends up getting arrested by the cops, and then she's interrogated. A minor is interrogated by cops, which also felt a little weird. Like, she's even taking little pictures with the thing, and I'm like, I don't really know if that's how that goes.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But they're like, did you mean to kill her? And she's like, I don't know. And they're like, what do you mean you don't know? And she's just like, I don't know. Maybe I wanted to kill her. Like, she literally, like, humiliated me in front of everyone. And, like, no one cares that she abused me and, like, was torturing me and all this stuff. Now, bullies that I did find more realistic were the preps that Lucas was with.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to hunt down Eddie because they believe, because this, it also makes sense because the 80s, like, they had that whole satanic panic thing. Mm-hmm. And since Eddie's definitely leads a Hellfire Club, which is a D&D group. They all think that he's a Satanist, so, which I found funny. So they're hunting him down, the preps are, and even when he literally sees his friend fly up in the air in the lake and get twisted like a pretzel, he's still like, oh, wow, that must have been Eddie's black magic.
Like, yeah, I thought that was funny. He still was convinced that Eddie is, like, some sort of real-life wizard, and then he threw his friend up in the air, and it's like, dude.
But
Eddie was just as terrified as you were.
Well, like, he wasn't looking at Eddie. I mean, I will say in his defense, like, not in the aspect of the show, like, we know it's some, like, other world dimension, but if you're just a random person, you already think this guy who's a Satanist killed your friend, and all of a sudden, your girlfriend, and all of a sudden you turn around, your friend flies up in the air, and you're, like, right next to the Satanist. Like, I mean, what? I mean, neither one sounds more realistic. Mm-hmm. Oh, a space wizard in another dimension threw him up in the air and twisted him like a pretzel, or, oh, this guy that I actually know exists did it. Like, both sound bonkers.
It does sound bonkers.
Just one thing in the actual context of the show made sense. But, and, you know, and then he gets the whole town riled up, and they're like, oh, let's go on this witch hunt to get, like, Eddie. And that was kind of the last real thing you see of the preps. Because the cops end up finding the children that are, because they end up finding that anytime Vecna does this, he opens up portals.
Yeah.
So there's a portal in the lake where he killed the person. They end up finding there's a portal in the trailer where he originally kills Chrissy. And that's really the only two portals they go to, because Nancy and Steve and Eddie end up getting stuck in the Upside Down. And Steve gets all fucked up by the bats.
Yeah.
The Demogorgon bat things, whatever they are. And, yeah, they eventually... Well, you know what? That's actually a thing. They end up finding a portal to get out in the trailer, but... And the trailer part, but I don't remember if they actually do, because Nancy ends up, like, basically going into his world. But does anything...
Robin and Eddie get out.
Right.
But Nancy actually gets trapped. Vecna actually traps her.
But that's the last we see of it, right? I don't think we actually know what happens after that.
No, because her, Nancy and Steve are still in the Upside Down, because he's trying to wake her up.
Yeah.
And that's basically where we're kind of ended in this last episode, is she's seeing, basically Vecna shows her his backstory. And so she's, like, trapped in this dream thing that, like, he does all his other victims. But he's basically telling her, this is my story. You wanted to know about it, because they basically were looking for this information anyway.
They do intertwine it with Elle's whole thing. So, yeah, so Elle ends up basically being convinced, because she was bullied and she doesn't know if Mike loves her anymore because she lost her powers. She ends up being convinced by whatever that guy's name is. What's his name? Papa. Papa she doesn't know exists yet. What was his name? I just looked
at him. Oh, yeah, Sam Owens, Paul Reiser.
Okay, yeah, she ends up being convinced by him to, like, hey, I might know a way to get your powers back. He's like, it's not going to be fun. And you don't have to do it, because I know you've been being told by people like me your whole life what to do. He's like, but if this is what you want, we really need you. And at the time, you don't really understand the context, but they're convinced that she's the only one that can help him, because there's this other side of the military that's convinced that she's the one that's doing the killings that Vecna's actually doing.
Yeah.
Because they're convinced, because she was made to be a weapon remotely. So, like, people are dying remotely. Might be her. So, I mean, I could understand where that thought's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes to the lab, and it's kind of... terribly ironic, I would say. It's just horrible. And they even had, at first, when I saw, like, the warning when you first started, it's like, hey, due to recent events, because unfortunately, you know, there's that giant mass shooting at a school where a whole bunch of kids died, it was like, there might be some triggering things. And, like, within the first 10 minutes, there's just, like, tons of dead kids from the lab.
Yeah.
And it's so the whole thing, you kind of see these flashbacks, and you're like, wow, because Elle's covered in blood. Elle has killed a lot of children and, like, just doesn't remember it. Maybe she went crazy because she was pushed too far. Who knows? And she gets convinced with that, too, because basically she meets Papa and she's forced to relive these flashbacks.
Yeah.
And there is a blonde-haired kid, Jamie Campbell Bauer.
Yeah.
Because he was in, like, Twilight and other terrible stuff. But he...
he basically plays this orderly that, when Elle was there originally, kind of... took her under his wing as to, like, encourage her to, like, use her powers and things like that. And then you basically find out that he is,
well, because he, you know, he has told her, first he talks to her about how she reminds him a lot of Number One, and she, you know, and just basically tells her, well, she wants to know what happened, Number One. He's like, well, it doesn't have a happy ending, all of this stuff. And she ends up being bullied by some of the people in there. And they basically, like, if you tell Papa that we bullied you, we will kill you. Well, Papa finds out that they were the ones. She doesn't tell them, but odds are they probably blame her. And so he tells her, be like, hey, Papa's scared of you. He actually wants this all to happen. It was all a setup. That's why the camera wasn't on when they were bullying you in the one in the rainbow room. So, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, well, basically, yeah, you end up fine. Yeah, and the big reveal is, and this is, like, a mix between what Nancy is seeing through the flashbacks and the things that Elle's dealing with, is that he is actually Number One. This kid is actually Number One, and was had a chip put in him so he couldn't use his powers. And he has Elle rip it out because he's helping her escape, and then, you know, they end up getting gunned down. He tells her to wait in a room, and then she ends up leaving the room, and you come to find out that he's massacred all the children.
Yeah.
Because he basically hates people, and you also find out he was the kid from the beginning in that house with, Robert Englund's character. What was it? Was it Henry Creel?
Victor Creel. Henry Creel is what he played. Victor Creel, he was the kid.
And yeah, you find out that he was actually the kid, and he's the one that did that to his whole family. That he could, he found out that he had the power to get in people's thoughts, found out that his dad did bad stuff in the war that he found bad. Obviously, it was a mistake that his dad made and stuff, and that's why he made him see, like, the baby on fire. And the big reveal is that, you know, he is Vecna, and he is also the reason that El opened a portal to the Upside Down, because him and El were having a fight, and when she finally beat him, found her strength, she was so powerful that she ripped open a hole into another dimension. And he was thrown there.
Throw him in there.
And transformed into Vecna. And that was the big reveal of the season. And I wouldn't even call it a twist. I just think it was kind of like a reveal.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, it was a very well written reveal because you couldn't really see it coming. But at the same time, it actually all just made sense.
Yeah. Like, I kind of was like, I'm like, why is this orderlies taking such a huge interest in L? What is his purpose? Like, why is he doing this? And then they started talking about number one and all this other stuff. And then everything hit kind of like that peak in that scene. And I was like, oh, my God. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, oh, my God, that's that. Yeah.
I could see people maybe figuring out that he was number one.
Yeah.
I could see that. But the correlation between him actually being Vecna, and it all makes sense because the whole reason they need El to remember this specific situation and they need her because she's literally defeated him kind of in the past. So they're like, if we can get her powers back, we might have a chance at defeating him now.
Yeah.
Because like they don't even know how they're going to get back because as far as they know that there's no way to get back into the Upside Down. Of course, the kids on, you know, the kids that are still in what's the place called?
Hawkins.
They have obviously now found the portals, but and they're still though. They're like, well, we need to train her so she can actually fight Vecna. And I just thought that was like everything just made so much sense. And it's like, oh wow, yeah, like yeah, it just made sense. And I really think that he was such a standout as these characters, you know, because like the range, because he was really creepy at the end, like.
Yeah.
With his dialogue, like, the way he said things was also just really convincing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, ugh. Like
yeah, he was very, like, he played a very good manipulative, but at the same time, like, I'm your friend, but I think you should do this.
Yeah.
I think in order to help you, you need to do this for me.
Yeah.
And it was just this perfect way that he did that and how he was, like, able to convince L to do this stuff, even though you knew that he was just manipulating her. And you could tell that he was just pure evil.
But there was also, well, that's, I mean, you couldn't tell he's pure evil to the end because, I mean, it really seemed like he was trying to help her because then you even see him basically being tortured by the doctor, by Papa. And, you know, you're like, wow, you know, they must have found out that he, like, told her something. And so they're torturing him. But, you know, in reality, like, they're really kind of trying to quell his power. One thing I will say that I found a little bit strange, if this little tiny chip in his neck is controlling his power and all L had to do was use your mind powers to rip it out, like, why wouldn't you just find a blade and just cut it out and now you're Superman?
Right.
Like, it felt weird to me. Like, I understand that he couldn't use his powers to pull it out because it basically numbed him of his powers, but, like, you could literally see it in his neck. I just feel like maybe they should have made it something a little more substantial that was, like, in him that I couldn't believe that he could find a way to get out himself, because even if he was in a little bit of pain to, like, rip it out somehow, then he'd be like Superman. He'd just blast everyone away like he did. Yeah. So I found that a little bit weird. But besides that, though, yeah, I think that was really cool, and finally kind of getting to see how the portal to the Upside Down truly got opened was a cool revelation as well.
Mm-hmm. And I do like how they, like, they had an actor playing young Eleven, but then they did that deep fake where they stuck her face on top of the actor's face.
I don't know if they did that or if she was just a lookalike. She might have just been a lookalike because a lot of kids look like if you just shave their head and they're frail looking when they're young. Because like there's pictures of her like helping that actor and it just looked like her. So I don't think they deep faked her. I will say what was cool about Vecna though is that it was almost, I mean there's CG there, but it was mainly practical effects.
Most of it is practical effects. I read an article and the only thing that is CGI are those veins that move, of course, on his body and stuff like that. But everything else is practical, like the prosthetics and everything, even the like tentacle things that he's attached to are all practical effects.
They said it took like 7 hours to get him into that thing each time. And it actually, I guess it is also Jamie Kimball Bauer that is playing actual Vecna in the suit as well.
Yeah, so he's really doing the voice as well because he said that he actually practiced quite a bit to get that voice deep. And because they originally were going to have him use a voice changer, and he's like, no, I could do it. And he went and he actually, like, practiced and worked with a voice coach and stuff like that to get his voice that deepness that it is for Vecna. Because, I mean, obviously can't be like, hey, how you doing, you know? You have to have a creepy voice right. when you're a...
Which is funny. I saw a lot of people being like, oh, well, he's like... too young to be playing like Vecna. It's like, actually, he is in his 30s. He just looks young. Mm-hmm. Like, the actual actor is in his 30s, which would match up because 59 and this is like 84, I think, is when this is. Well, no, this would have been when she was young, it was like 79. I think 79 is when she broke
79,
out. So, yeah, he would be like 30. So, yeah, so it actually does. The age does add up. He just looks like he's 20, but he really is 30. So, it actually makes. It makes sense. Now, we see him getting struck by lightning when he's thrown to the upside down, but I don't think we've been fully explained. I'm assuming they might go in a little more detail exactly what he's trying to do. Like, we know that he can, like, basically see people's minds, and when he kills mm-hmm. them, like, basically he gains everything that's ever happened to their life. I don't know if he's doing this to, like, maybe regain strength, like, why all these tubes are hooking up to him, if he's, like, trying to become whole again somehow. Maybe. What his end game is. Because yeah. I assume there is an end game here. We are not explained that yet.
No.
But now we know who he is and all of that. It's just, what exactly does he want? We know he likes to see every... he likes to basically leech and see people's lives. But I feel like there's more going on to mm-hmm. that now. More than just, oh, this is fun. Like, yeah. He has a goal in mind. Why does he look all veiny and scary? Kind of like Nemesis from Resident Evil. But... but that's our thoughts on it. I'm curious to know what you guys think. Did you really like this series? I think it's probably my favorite, or it's this season. I think it's probably my favorite season so far.
It is really good.
It's very good, and I'm super excited to see the last couple episodes. I'm sure those will be really good as well. But yeah, I am curious to know what you thought of it, and if this is your favorite season as well. And as always, again, make sure you like and subscribe, and if you haven't already, make sure you ring the notification bell. You don't miss any future episodes. That is, of course, if you're watching it. If you're not watching, just listen to podcast form, you should pop over to the YouTube because we do a lot more than just the podcast. If you're watching the video form and you're like, man, it would be really cool just to listen to these ones that, you know, I don't really need to see what's going on, just listen to them. Go check out the podcast. The link's always in the description. It's on all major podcasting platforms, Creeps, Creatures, and Haunts. Thank you guys very much for watching and listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.